Hello everyone and welcome to the 200th episode of the Le Rouge Rugby Podcast, where we talk about real Canadian rugby. I'm Shu Hardy, joined as always by Derek Brissett, and for this 200th episode, we are joined by a very special guest. Current player for the Dallas Jackals, former player for the Toronto Arrows, and Canadian international, Mitch Richardson. Mitch, thank you for joining us.
Oh yeah, sweet. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, as we begin with all our interviews, we start off with the default questions as we go. So let's go right back to basics. What got you started in rugby to begin with?
Yeah, rugby. It wasn't in my head really at all. It was just one day my neighbor had a bunch of his soccer buddies over, and, you know, as kids, you know, just go out and hang out with the kids on the street. We were playing like tackle football, just messing around and just running about. And then there's one dad there, and he's like, whose kid is that? And my dad came over shaking his head. He's like, that's my kid. Like, I'm sorry if he's like done anything bad, but no, it happened to be Paul Pendakis. And he's like, oh, I really want him to come to Salford to play rugby. So as soon as I heard about that, I was like, oh, like never really heard of the sport before, but like, I just, you know, took it and just ran with it. And I think it's probably been the best decision in my life so far. So yeah, that's really how I got into it. Just messing around and that thought of playing rugby.
So, I mean, like, in addition to like your neighbors there, is there anybody else that really had like a big influence on like the early stages of your rugby career, or even as you started making the jump to like more elite levels?
Yeah, so I had two really, really good friends. They happen to be my best friends, Noel and Mike. But yeah, we were just planning on going to like the normal Catholic high school to go play football or whatever. And yeah, just Paul Pendakis being there is saying rugby. And then just those two, they're like, well, we want to go to school where you want to go to school. And like, yeah, we played rugby together 4 years at Salfleet. And like, yeah, just not really anyone on the street. It was just this thought. And it just happened to be, you know, something that, you know, provided a kind of a great future for me so far.
Yeah. And our kind of last, I guess, little intro question is, you know, when you started getting into rugby, you started watching, maybe perhaps started watching rugby for the first time. Is there any kind of players that you gravitated towards watching during like your, I guess you're like your formative years as you were learning the game for the first time playing, you know, at your high school with all of the other kids and stuff on your street?
Yeah. It's like just how it's not very a common sport in North America, as you guys know. So I didn't really know about like that, the professional clubs overseas and all that. But just there was one person that was very good at rugby where we were from, and that happened to be Sean Windsor. So yeah. He was a huge influence to me. What he's done in Ontario rugby, like just winning offs in the high school level, winning an OUA gold, winning the CRCs, like it goes on. So just as a young kid getting to see that, And meeting Sean, I was like, I kind of want to be like him. I did the Salfleet thing, won off the gold like he did not win an OUA gold. So he's got me on that one. But I mean, I just remember my first time actually playing with Stony Creek. I think I was 17, my first men's 15s game. I was coming off the bench and like just getting to come on and play against Windsor. I just thought that was like the best day of my life, just because like he influenced me so much. Like I thought of him as an idol. So like just early on, like the person who like I looked up to was Sean Windsor.
What was it like then, like having him as a teammate in the first couple of years with the Toronto Arrows there?
Yeah. So yeah, I met Sean when I was 17, and then just with the Toronto Arrows, like that's probably another 5 years. So getting to know him that long. So it was like having a big brother on the team, you know. He was always looking out for me, especially in that first year, because I didn't play that much, but I was finishing school. But just him, you know, motivating me to keep going and all that, like it was just huge to have him in my corner.
Perfect. And one more sort of somewhat rugby, but also not really a rugby related question at all. But enough of your, I guess I've heard this from enough teammates and stuff, so I figured I'd get you to either confirm or deny this. Are you the best Call of Duty player in Major League Rugby?
I don't know who told you that. It's probably Will or Rumble or somebody. I'm quite good at it. Spend a few hours when I was in university playing it. I don't know. I don't know if there's any other talented Call of Duty players in the MLR, but I would like to say I'm a good top five.
Do you think you need to like start challenging player? Like, could the Jackals get together and start like challenging other MLR players to see if you can actually finally
That would
decide
be
if
a
they want?
fantastic idea because I think that would just, you know, get more of that rep in the team just if I could carry the boys to wing a COD thing. But like, I know it's like not never gonna happen, but it'd be pretty cool.
Well, you can't say never because the MLR during COVID they did do that like video game tournament.
Yeah, they did.
COVID. So I mean, it's
It could happen, yeah.
yeah. So I mean, you can't say never, but we'll see. For now, I'm just gonna say you are because we have no evidence to prove otherwise,
Yeah,
unless.
during that COVID time too, like I think we had like just the arrows guy, we had our own separate chat for the guys who played video games. So that was pretty cool during the COVID. But yeah, that'd be cool. So I guess I won't say never again, but yeah.
All right,
All
perfect.
right, all right.
Before we talk about the arrows in more in depth and detail, let's go back and talk about like Stony Creek and your club career before professionalism, because your rugby career began with the Stony Creek Camels, the Burlington Centaurs, and you were also part of the Ontario Blues senior men's program. How did each club, or with the Blues, the program, help you become the player that you are today?
Yeah, just I guess like the Stony Creek and the Blues thing kind of ties together because I was quite young when I joined the seniors program. I was still, I think I was about 18 or 19. So it was just like the knowledge everyone else has that's a little older or wiser, as they would say, is just like The game keeps improving as you like get to those higher levels. So for me, just with Stony Creek and the Blues, it was just all learning, like trying to be a sponge and get better at that certain level of rugby. Whereas like the Burlington Centaurs now, I think I've been there for 3 years now. And just saying like how I looked up to Sean, I feel like I kind of have that role in that club now. Just after last year playing with the Arrows and then coming back and playing a couple club games, like kids coming around asking questions. So I think that's quite cool how it just turns pretty quick, even though it wasn't that many years. But yeah, it's just like helping me become a better rugby player in Stony Creek and the Blues just because I was so young and then getting to do the same with Burlington. I just think that aspect of the game of being a student and then a teacher, it definitely has helped me quite a bit.
So you kind of mentioned playing for like Burlington like in the past like summer. So like for yourself, and I know a lot of other guys do it too, but like what's it like going from like playing in like the MLR, like a prof you know the highest professional league we have in North America, to then like kind of returning to club rugby and also leaving that club to eventually go play some test matches with Canada as you would have done this past year too. So like is that like a big like level shift or like how do you kind of treat that and how does that like work for you?
Going from like the MLR to the Prem in Ontario. Oh, sorry, the Marshall. I don't know why I call it the Prem, but yeah, the Marshall. It's definitely a big step above when you go from the Marshall to the Arrows. But I mean, just mentality wise, like don't switch off because there are quite a few good players in the Ontario rugby. Like I mean, Will Kelly's still there. The Van Horns are still playing. Colby Francis, Mitch Vorlach. Like there's still a lot of decent players out there. That's why I quite enjoy playing the club rugby in the summer, just because those players are still there and it is still competitive. But it's just to not be unfit in the off season, I guess.
And so we're talking about like the clubs you've been with and the programs, but you also studied at McMaster and you played for the Marauders men's rugby team while you were there. So in a similar vein, how does collegiate rugby relate to both the club and MLR? And during your time there, how did the Marauders progress?
Yeah, just from going to like club to OUA, I thought like like the men's league is kind of, there's bigger guys, obviously, there's grown men, whereas the OUA, it's young men. So definitely a little bit of the physicality, but I feel like the OUA is a little bit quicker. But yeah, just when I was at MAC, like the Toronto Arrow, oh, not the Toronto, Ontario Arrows started. So just going from university to the Ontario Arrows, we were playing better clubs. Like it was still a step up. So just, yeah, I would say it's like club rugby. It's a big step to the MLR. But I mean, I enjoy my time at MAC. I was coached by Dan Pletch. I mean, he's got so many Rugby Canada caps. Met my best friend Will Kelly there. I mean, we played for the Arrows for quite a bit, and then like guys like Jack McRogers also an Arrow. So I just thought it was like a great experience. I really enjoyed being at MAC. But yeah, just in the terms of rugby, it's definitely a big step to the MLR.
You mentioned the creation of the Ontario Arrows, which obviously eventually becomes the Toronto Arrows, while you were at MAC playing rugby with, as you just mentioned, a few other guys that would also end up becoming Arrows. How much was like playing professional rugby like on your radar before like the formation of the Ontario Arrows? And like, were you like kind of looking at playing pro rugby as like, a valid like career option, or did, the foundation of that club kind of spark like a little interest and drive into the pro career?
Yeah, I just kind of took it as like, what's the next thing I can do? Like, so I thought like playing men's rugby for the Stoney Creek Camels was like a like something I wanted to do. And then there was the Ontario Blues. And then I was just lucky enough that the Ontario Arrows formed at that time. So then it was just another thing I wanted to do. I don't think I really had like, oh, I want to play professional rugby. I obviously wanted to be capped by Rugby Canada, so that was kind of up there, but that idea of pro rugby was never really floating in my head. I just think I got very lucky with timing of it all, so I was just truly blessed that it happened when it did.
With your time with the Arrows, because as you said, you were part of the Ontario Blues that became the Ontario Arrows, that became the Toronto Arrows, and you've basically been in MLR since 2019, and obviously with that exhibition season in 2018. So you have like firsthand experience of the progression from being a exhibition club to first joining MLR to then obviously every subsequent season yet. So from the players' insight, how big was team growth like year on year on year?
Yeah, like just with like the Ontario Blues, I think we had such a good culture there. So like as we decided to take another step in competition, like our culture kind of like got us to adapt to whatever level we were playing at. So like that exhibition year, I thought we did quite well. I think we had a couple wins, a couple ties, and then just that first year with the Arrows, I mean, I didn't play as much, but we still had that core group, and that culture was still there, and the guys who came in, they just hopped onto it. So I think like just that culture we build as we were taking the steps to the MLR, it kind of helped us as players, as a team, like kind of just adapt to what level we were playing at.
So, as I said, you've been an Arrow since day one. So, for all the seasons, however long or short they may have been, of all the games, what memories from the team stand out to you the most?
One that really stands out is our first win as a franchise in year one. I think we were playing Austin. Austin. So I mean, just being a part of the 23, that was my first game as an Arrow as well. Just being part of that 23 to win the first game, I thought like that stands near and dear to my heart. I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, only 23 players get to say they got the first franchise win. Even though it is a team thing, but like as the 23 to do it, it was pretty cool. So that one definitely stands out.
What did it mean to you? Like, obviously, a few months or however many weeks later that was, but like, well, at the play, like the Arrows played against like the NOLA Gold at home. Like, what was the first like pro rugby games in Canada like for you, and like that whole experience?
With like the arrows, or just like
going to see a pro rugby
or
game.
like playing playing with the arrows and stuff, like for the first time, like on home soil in Toronto.
Yeah, it was cool. So
I think like I watched the first home game, but like still that atmosphere, like we're playing out of the York Lions, like their football field, not the where we were
yeah,
last
alumni
year.
field.
Yeah, the alumni field. But like just the turnout there was insane. And that kind of drove me that year. It's like I want to play and experience that. So I think I did at the end of the year when we played Austin again. So my only two games there against Austin. But no, it was like just insane. Like just the amount of support of people that are there just to watch, you know, the first professional rugby game in Toronto. So I thought it was really cool.
We've mentioned that you play for clubs in the summer break, but in 2022, you had the opportunity to go to Scotland and play for Melrose Rugby Club. As fans, we get that information like only as like press releases and stuff like that. How was that approach to you first and foremost, and then when you were in Scotland? How was that experience of playing for Melrose?
Yeah, so actually Melrose came over like for a tour of Canada, and they had an exhibition game against the Toronto Arrows Academy, and I just got a message from Corey Hector. He's like, "Do you want to play this game?" And at first I was like, "Not really." And then Pete sent me a message. He's like, "You're playing." So I was like, "Okay." So I ended up playing the game. I think they ended up beating us, or yeah, I think they beat us. But yeah, then after the game, Mark was just saying like we might have a partnership with them after, because they thought it was a sweet game between the Academy and Melrose Club. And then I think like 4 or 5 days after, I just got an email from Bill and Mark, and they were like, "Hey, we have this opportunity if you want to go over and play for the club during the off season." And like I just jumped on it right away. I was like, "Why not go to Scotland and play club rugby?" So yeah, it was pretty quick, that transition. But yeah, just my experience there, it's probably up there for one of the best experiences I've had with rugby. I mean, the club was amazing. Just like their director of rugby, Rob Moffat, he really helped me out a lot there, just to get into the club, make me feel welcome. He actually got me a job at St. Mary's School. It's like kind of a private school, but I mean, I was painting rooms. I've never painted in my life, so that I got a new trade. But then I was also coaching like 6-year-olds rugby, which I thought was crazy because at 6 years old, I couldn't even concentrate for like 5 seconds. Yeah, but just with all that being said, and just the rugby was, you know, it was a different brand of rugby. I feel like it definitely helped me out a lot. And then also they had like a Super Six team out there, so I got to play one game there. It's kind of like they're semi-pro, so that was pretty
Okay.
cool. So there's some like Glasgow and Edinburgh guys coming down and playing in that. So yeah, that was very physical game. But yeah, it was just an overall great experience. I think a couple of boys in the Arrows Academy were there this year, and they would probably tell you the same thing. It's an amazing club. And yeah, just going off that, if I didn't get picked for the summer tour, I was probably going to go back and play again.
All right. Okay.
So
Listen.
you mentioned too that it's like, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a different brand of rugby. What kind of like jumped out to you that it's like, oh, you know, playing club in Scotland's, you know, a little bit different than playing club level or maybe even the MLR in Canada slash North America?
Yeah, I would say the physicality. It's not as much, you know, running with the ball, kind of like how the MLR is. It's kind of like sideline to sideline, quite a bit. This one was just very like smash mouth rugby, so it was quite good. It helped me on the defensive side of the ball, but yeah, definitely the physicality. It was some big boys running at you.
So the season in for Melrose, were you there for the entirety of it, or because of commitments with the Arrows, you had to leave at a certain point? So how did that work out?
Yeah, so at the beginning,
They said you go for half a season just because they wanted me
All
back
right.
for preseason and all that. So that was a good 4 to 5 months. So I would definitely
Okay.
do it again if it was brought up.
All right. Interesting enough.
So, like, I guess that's kind of like my other like question, because I feel like it's somewhat unique to rugby. We've talked about you playing for like Burlington and now obviously for like the Centaurs, like in the off season. It's like, what's it kind of like playing like a sport like essentially like year round, with like not especially if you're playing like test caps and stuff, because then you also have to factor in that schedule where it's like you kind of look at a lot of other sports, like say like hockey or baseball or something, they have a pretty well-defined like off season, but rugby kind of seems to just play year round, and players such as yourself seem to just, go back and forth finding clubs to play at all year. What's kind of like that like? And like, how do you balance, like maybe like rest and recovery before, necessarily like, starting a season with the Jackals, let's say.
Yeah, so just with like the Melrose thing, just coming off the season 2 years ago when we were 8-8, that's when I started to kind of play with the Arrows. I was kind of in the starting 15 at the time, or the 23. So it was just something that I had in my mind, is like, I want to start every game next year. So when this came up, I was like, this is going to help me, one, stay fit, and two, probably get better, just because club rugby in Scotland is quite a difference than it is back home. But then, yeah, just going from that season straight into the season last year with the Arrows, it was good. It definitely helped me out a lot. It kept my body in shape. And then, yeah, just with the tests in the summer, you're not really guaranteed those. But yeah, it was good. But I was happy after that ended, and I had like that kind of month and a half, 2 months just to relax. It does get kind of wary on your body, but I mean, I enjoyed every minute of it.
Fair enough. So let's talk about the end of the Arrows, because from August through to November, there was a lot going on. Obviously, the tragic passing of Bill Webb, then the announcement of the like new crest and logo and the rebranding, and then players are getting signed, going on like twice a week and stuff like that, and then suddenly everything stops, and then a week later we get the announcement that the club is folding. Now when we talked to Lucas, he was the captain, and he's sort of saying that he got so little information coming forward. And because of the situation with his contract, he was able to sign for Chicago outside of the draft. But you were in the draft, and you actually got picked second overall. So, as someone who went through that dispersal draft, what were your like emotions going around whilst this was all coming about? And like, was the league in contact? Were the teams in contact with you at all? Or was this all basically done as in like out of your hands?
Yeah, it's so tough. Just trying to remember, but like if I just went from like where the Arrows kind of folded, like I just remember seeing something on my phone. It was like the Arrows aren't participating in the 2024 season, and I was like, there's no way. And then as you're saying, it was quiet, and then I just shot our manager a message. And like, I think a day after that, we had a meeting, and we were told that the Arrows were folding. But then, like 4 days after that, we had like a message from the league, and we had a meeting about this draft going on. So it was quite stressful. I was, it was very sad, because like I love the Arrows, like it's home. Like I didn't want to leave. But I mean, I still wanted to chase this dream of playing in the MLR, still play for the national team if presented. So just going through that process, it was quite tough. But then, like when the draft was happening, like I talked to a few teams, but yeah, Dallas really stood out. I had a phone call with Kuka, which is the head coach of Dallas, and like he was just very straight up for me. He said, "We want you. We think you'd be a great part in this team." Pete also shot me a phone call and was just telling me about the backs coach that was coming in, and said like, he's a great guy. I think you would fit in well here. So As soon as they said they had the number two draft pick, they were like, yeah, we're gonna take you, and like just went on from there. But I was very like happy that I got off the board early, just so I knew where I was going and all that. But yeah, it was a tough, stressful experience to go through.
Yeah, like obviously it sounds like it would be kind of incredibly stressful. Did Dallas like kind of do anything to maybe like help like make that transition and stuff easier? Obviously it's, kind of to just obviously acquired your rights during the draft, but also like, you didn't exactly think you were going to be playing for the Dallas Jackals this year. Like if we did this episode like 3 months ago, or I guess maybe not 3 months ago, but like you probably would be talking about like what you're doing to prep for the Arrow season still, right? So like how did like Dallas kind of like handle, I guess, like that transition? A couple Arrows, like Nick Benn also ended up there as well. So like how's that kind of like transition to the new club been going for you?
Unreal.
Dallas is beautiful. It's not snowing for one, so the weather's been great. But no, just like the team atmosphere, the culture that they have, it kind of feels the exact same as into the beginning of my rugby career with the Blues, like that team culture. I mean, the guys are great. And just like it just in everything, the coaching staff, like the way they reached out, like I had a Zoom call with the whole, like basically the whole organization before I came over. So that was pretty cool. And then yeah, just having guys like Nick Benn, we were messaging each other when we got drafted. So, but yeah, the guys have been great. We have a great culture here. I mean,
Obviously, like you
said at the beginning, I would have been like, yeah, I want to play for the Arrows. I want to play for the Arrows. But I'm like super happy and grateful that I'm here. I think we got a great thing going for us this season. But yeah, this club has just made it super easy to, adapt to.
Yeah,
All
so
right.
I mean, you can kind of, I guess you kind of mentioned like the start of the season. Through 3 games, you guys are 2-1, wins over LA and Anthem, and loss to San Diego, kind of alternating wins and losses right now. How do you guys kind of feel where the Jackals are at? You got the NOLA Gold this week. What's kind of your take on how the first 3 games of the season has gone for you guys?
Yeah, just with the
First 3 games, obviously that first game was a forwards game. But I mean, when a team's giving up like 16 to 20 penalties, I mean, I think we got a great maul, a great scrum. So like our set piece is great. The San Diego game, I think just backs as a unit, we were like not asking for the ball or anything. We were relying on our forwards just after that week one. So we didn't really take our chances. So whereas this past week, we just said, screw it. We're just going to play rugby. And I think we're starting to find out who we are as a team, that both units can work together and we are a team. So when we need one forwards need to rely on the backs and the backs need to rely on the forwards, we got each other. So just coming into that we're all here as one. So I think the one thing is too is that we're going week by week, right? We're not looking ahead, so which is a good thing. But yeah, we're super excited to play NOLA this week.
Did you kind of, I guess, feel that kind of like cohesion between the backs and the forwards for that game against Anthem last week? Because like obviously put up 10 tries, 10 different try scorers too, which is a pretty impressive stat for a team to have. But a lot of those tries, especially early in the game, the try that you scored to open was like, off a scrum set piece move from the backs and stuff. So kind of seemed like everything kind of working cohesively together in that game. So I guess you guys must have been like pretty happy with how that worked, as you said, kind of following the loss to San Diego.
Yeah, that just
It's
shows.
like what we can do as a full team. I think we were playing as units the first 2 games. But yeah, we're just trying to find ourselves. And I think that last week just shows that we can be a very good team in this league.
So, how does it feel to have previously played in the Eastern Conference and been used to, like, okay, you've gone from playing New York and New England and DC twice a year, and now you've got San Diego twice a year, Houston twice a year. Well, I'm guessing the Houston games are going to be pretty big ones when those come about. Does the mentality kind of change of like, okay, we're playing Seattle twice this year, and the teams that you've previously faced once, Oh, sorry, twice a year, you're now going to be facing like once. Do you have to switch up the mentality, or is it just same as like take it 1 week at a time, face what's
Yeah,
coming?
it's pretty much just.
Take it 1 week at a time. Although, even though when we're looking at, like, when I'm looking at the standings, I'm always looking at the East for some reason. So I haven't got that, like, oh, I'm in the West. But yeah, no, I don't think it makes that big of a difference. Just week by week, like I said.
What's it
Yeah.
like not having an 8-game road trip to start the season?
Oh yeah, it's
Unreal. Like we have two home games this week and next week. So I mean, just not being on an airplane for 8 weeks in a row is pretty good.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and as you mentioned before, it's not snowing. So I mean, this seems like Dallas seems like an all right spot to play right now.
The week we came in, it was perfect weather, but like 7 days after that, it was like snowing. So I mean, I got to miss that, and then the boys are just giving a gag of saying that I brought the snow with me. But I mean, it's been quite hot. I've been putting SPF 50 on and all that just to protect the ginger skin.
Yeah, that's a yeah.
I know what that feels like.
It does get quite hot out here.
All right.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, kind of on like the Jackals stuff, you kind of mentioned, I guess, earlier in the in this interview, the first few seasons with the Arrows, you kind of found yourself kind of in and out of the lineup as you were developing as a player. What's it kind of like in Dallas right now, as it looks like you're pretty much the guy with the in regards to the 13 jersey right now? How you kind of feeling with that, that role, that responsibility? It looks like, at least like off for the first couple of weeks, a lot of the offense and the attack kind of seems to be going through you right now.
Yeah, just with that 13 jersey, I mean, I've been enjoying playing there, but it's not like kind of guaranteed. It's not guaranteed at all. There's a lot of competition within the backs. Like, I mean, the first few weeks we have changed up the backs unit quite a bit. But yeah, just week by week, just do my roles in training and go out and perform well, and hopefully I can stay in it. But I mean, anyone can take that 13 jersey and do a job, but yeah, I'm just happy I've been there the first 3 weeks.
The Jackals, I guess after the Arrows have now folded, the Jackals are kind of right up there with New England as the team that has like the most Canadians on the squad now. So obviously Kotze had like a huge week one against LA. Lots of Canadians throughout the lineup there. We mentioned Nick Benn got a try last week, Liam Murray, Kyle Steeves, list goes on. But like, what's it kind of like having such a big, like, Canadian core on the Dallas Jackals right now?
Yeah, no, it's great. And
The good thing about it for me personally is that I've known each guy. So I'm actually rooming with Dewey and Brock Gallagher right now. They're great roommates. But no, it's good, because that was the one thing I was nervous about, is going to a team and having to meet new people. But not that there's anything wrong with that, but like just having a core guys that I've already met, it just made it way easier. But like, yeah, I'm super excited. Most of the Canadians are playing, so that's also good. But yeah, it's just a great group here. Canadian, Argentinian, American, a couple South Africans we have. We're a good bunch.
What's Dewey and Brock like as roommates? How's that been going for the first couple months?
And remember, this
Honestly.
is going to be going out,
Yeah.
so choose your words carefully.
Yeah, no, honestly, like two of the best roommates I've had. I mean, Dewey is an amazing cook. I mean, you don't even have to ask him. He's like cooking dinner for me and Brock. Like, he's just an amazing guy. And Brock's awesome. He's just a ball of energy. So, we're usually entertained when Brock's, bringing that energy. But yeah, it's just a great group of guys living together. And yeah, it's been good so far, and hopefully it stays like that.
So Dewey's the cook, Brock brings the ball of energy. What do you bring to the table as the roommate? What makes you a good roommate in this situation?
Yeah, so I would say just
With my age, I mean, Brock and Dewey have known each other for quite a bit. So whenever if they may go at it, I can be kind of like that guy who steps in between and divides them and all that. But yeah, no, I'm still trying to figure out my role. These guys got theirs. I'm trying to bring something to the table. I just can't find it yet.
Sounds like you're the dad of the house.
Yeah, the
That does nothing, but yeah, I'll take that role.
All right. Well, we're going to move away from talking about club and professional club with MLR and talk more about representing Canada on the world stage. We'll start off by saying that you've been capped as part of the under 18s back in the day. And so, how did that come about? And what were your experiences of wearing that under 18s jersey compared with the rugby you've been playing at that time?
Yeah, just with the U18 tournament is you usually do nationals, and then they would pick the U18 team when they were doing it when I was playing for Ontario. But yeah, it was just you would go to nationals, you'd play, and then they would just make a long list, and then the squad for the U18s. Yeah, and it just the first time I got to wear the Canadian jersey, I was like, I want to do this for real. So that kind of was put in my head, and at that point, I was like, I want to earn a cap for Canada. I want to play for Canada. And it was the same thing when I did my under 20 year. I mean, even though we lost to the States in that qualifier game, that one hurt. But like this, it was the same thing. Like, I want to do this for real. And I think we were the closing game. It was weird. The men's team played first and then we closed, which was crazy. And that was in Houston. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. But yeah, just seeing them play, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then we were playing. It's just, yeah, I just put in my head that I want to do this and play for the national team.
So eventually, you did get the chance to play for the national team. You got capped. Your first cap came against Tonga last year. It was the first of four, I believe. But it you so you got that cap. What was that first game? What was it like putting a Canadian jersey on for the first time? Hearing the anthem on the pitch, just being around the whole game day, finding out like the whole experience of getting your first cap. Walk us through that, because me and Stu will never do anything that cool in our lives. So.
No, yeah, it was very surreal. Like, you have that, like I was saying, like, I want to do it. And then just seeing my name on the 23 for the first time, it was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I was so happy. Like, I thought I was gonna cry in the room, but I had to hold the tears because they're in front of all the boys. But no, it was just like a lot of pride and honor that I get to do that. But then yeah, just leading up to the game, just seeing the Tongan boys, they were massive, the biggest human beings I've ever seen. So that made me a little bit nervous. But when I got in and then just getting into the game, it's just another game of rugby. But like, well, probably my best memory of rugby so far is my first cap.
Did the experience of playing for Melrose in Scotland, where was the more physical big players, as you mentioned earlier, help against Tonga
Absolutely not. These guys are
at
they were massive. I was so nervous, and I wasn't even starting. I was just on the bench and just seeing them. I was like, these are the biggest human beings ever. But as the game goes on, it all goes away. But yeah, there were some big boys.
All right. Well, it was an interesting situation last year. Obviously, Canada not going to the Rugby World Cup, sorry, the Men's Rugby World Cup for the first time. So you had this tour of in Tonga, but also playing in Fi or doing warm up in Fiji beforehand, and then you had this International Cup in Spain, where you're playing Spain and then Brazil. So you have two tours. What are some of the highlights from both of them?
Yeah, so the highlight for the Tonga one was obviously playing for the first time for Canada, and then the second one was my parents and my partner actually came down. So my parents were at the first game, and that's the game I scored. So I was happy for that. And then the second game, my partner showed up for the Brazil game. So those are definitely two. Just having those support factors there, that meant a lot to me.
I thought for a second you meant that your family went to Tonga to see you play, and I was like, that is an impressive commitment. Yeah.
Oh, no. Did I say Tonga?
No, I got confused. Sorry. That was my fault because you were saying about the Tonga tour and then going into the Spanish tour, and I got confused on my end. I was like, but yeah.
To be fair, my parents were thinking about coming, but I wouldn't want them to spend that much money at the time. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna play. And then not saying I knew I was going to play on the Spain tour, I was like, oh, maybe they could get one if they came to both. And I was just grateful I got to play in the both. So I was just super happy.
What,
All right. Okay.
what feels, you said you had family at both your parents and then your partner at the second one there. What feels better though, scoring your first international try or being part of your first international win?
Oh, yeah, that's tough, eh? I mean, I just mine, I think, was just a little different just because I scored in front of my parents. And I mean, we did lose, but I thought that was a special moment. But my first win, my parents and my partner were there. So, like, I would definitely say the win, just getting for both of them to see me win in a Canadian jersey. I thought that was probably a little better than just scoring a try.
It's probably the answer that your coaching staff is going to want to hear as well, to be
No individual stuff, just
Yeah.
team wins. No, definitely winning for the first time was pretty cool.
Did you
Speaking of
the coaching staff, so it's been announced that Canada, the men's team, will have at minimum 5 games this year. They got the game against Scotland and Romania in Ottawa, and then we have the Pacific Nations Cup, and there's the game in BC against Japan, and then the game in LA against the US, then a week break for US to play Japan, and then everyone's in Japan for that, either the semifinals or the fifth sixth playoff. So have Now that those dates have been announced, has there been any contact between you and any of the national coaching team to be like, this is what you need to do for us to put you at like the top of our lists to get you with the national team?
Yeah, I just think they've just been super busy with like trying to get these matches confirmed. So at the moment, not right now, but I imagine it'll be the same as last year. I mean, just being with the Arrows, Kingsley was there quite a bit, and he was having those one-on-ones with players. But I imagine he was doing it when he couldn't be there messaging them. So I imagine when everything settles down, and you know, because they were confirmed about what, a couple weeks ago,
Yeah.
three. I imagine they're extremely busy, and we'll probably hear something soon. But yeah, just super happy that we got more test matches. Hopefully, can be a part of them.
So did Kingsley last year approach you, or did he have to message you because of, logistical circumstances?
No,
And
just I'm sorry.
that was just part one of the question. And the second one being that obviously there was a very close relationship between the Arrows and Rugby Canada. Now with them being no Arrows or no Canadian MLR team, do you think that relationship is going to obviously have to change somehow? And because it's very difficult to be like, okay, the coach has to go to 12 different teams over 12 weeks to be direct with players. Or is it, do you think it may even be a case of one coach goes here, one coach goes there, one coach goes somewhere else, just so you can hit all the teams at the same time?
I have no idea. I just know that when I was with the Arrows, Kingsley was there quite a bit, and I knew he went to New England a couple of times just because there's so many boys there. I mean, he's pretty good with letting people know like what they have to do. I mean, just the year I've had with him, he's been nothing but awesome to me, just telling me what I need to work on with all that. But just with like information, if you're going or not, usually you know, if because he'll shoot you a message. So like, it's
Okay.
just, yeah, it's just, you know, I imagine he's extremely busy just confirming all these dates. So I imagine the chatting will happen soon.
I guess kind of like, last like bit of Rugby Canada questions, because I'm kind of curious what you guys kind of do for some of these big moments. Did you keep anything from like your first test cap, your first try, first win? Did you keep anything or have something, let me like some sort of like tangible object or something to kind of mark the occasion to remember those games by?
Just when you play, you usually get to keep your jersey, right? So on my first cap, I got two just in case I traded it, but I was not trading my first cap jersey. So yeah, we just got to keep our jerseys.
I gave my second one to actually my high school coach, Paul Pendakis, and I told him you
Ah,
could put
that's
it
nice.
kind of, yeah, put it in his man cave stuff. And I seen a picture and it's in the high school right now. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, just scoring. I mean, it's just, I didn't really need anything for scoring. I was just trying to help the team out. But yeah, just with each game, you get to keep your jersey, which is pretty special.
So this is the big question coming forward because there's been, whilst nothing's been confirmed, the rumors are that because the World Cup is expanding for men to 24 teams, that there's the allocation for teams in North America is going to be decided by the Pacific Nations Cup, and then it breaks down to playing a team from South America, and then if that doesn't work, then there's the final repechage tournament. But one of the pieces of news coming through is that World Rugby wants the teams to have qualified by November of 2025, which is obviously a much faster turnaround than it was for previous World Cups. So now, obviously, you weren't involved in the qualification journey in 2021 for 2023, but from what you've seen and what you've talked to with the guys who were in that, what has been like the things that that Canada needs to work on in order to be one of those 24 teams?
Yeah, I think just with those five confirmed matches, it's just playing more test matches. I think just getting that experience and is just having more test matches, I feel. I mean, I've only been around for four games, so I wouldn't know too much, but I mean, most of the times it's just boys saying that, hey, we need more test matches if we want to get to where we want to be, which is the Rugby World Cup.
Obviously, the full MLR season right now with the Dallas Jackals coming up. What are kind of the team's expectations after starting the season 2-1? Like I said, you got a game against NOLA this week, but like, where do you kind of think the Jackals can get to this season? Like, what are the team's goals? And what are you guys like looking to achieve following what's already the best start that the franchise has had in their history?
And when actually, before we do, one of the goals can't be lift the MLR shield because that's every team's goal. So,
Well, obviously that is the goal, but I mean, it's just, take each week how it is. Like this league is so competitive now, just from being here from the first year to now, it's like night and day. So it's really just putting in a team effort each week. We believe that we're one of the best teams in the competition. I mean, I believe that we are as well. I'm just super excited. I think we have a good thing going here. But like I said, I don't want to look too far ahead. I mean, we are a team that's just going week by week, but we do think we got a good chance this year to do some good things.
all right, and on a personal level, how do you measure success? Because you can look at like the Arrow season from last year and see one win, two draws, 13 losses, and say there was very little success in that. But obviously, from an individual standpoint, there I know that there was always talk about like the resiliency of the team, like never giving up, like getting scores right at the death, even though the game may have gone away. How do you measure your personal success as your career goes on?
It's just basically just giving everything
And you have for 80 minutes, 60 minutes. I mean, obviously winning is a huge thing, but like you said, last year there wasn't much. It's just success for me last year was just staying in that fight. I mean, I think we had that at the end of the year, just fighting, a couple like those ties and some games we should have won. But yeah, it's just not quitting, I think, on years like that. And then just for success this year, as you're going week by week, it's obviously chasing that wing, but just giving it all. I mean, if you take away the win, you lose. Like, I mean, as long as you're giving 100%, like, I think that's success for me. It's just giving everything you have within that 80 minutes or how long you play.
Yeah, and like obviously we're kind of wishing you all the success in the world as a former Arrow and now that you're a member of the Dallas Jackals, but you're also a part of the LaRouge Rugby fantasy team. So please, do as long as the season goes, a lot of tackles, lots of meters, lots of tries. Just keep a rack, just do your best to rack up all of those numbers for me, please.
Yeah, I'll try my best. Like I said, just the first thing is get the team a win. But I mean, if I can go on a run or
Oh,
tackle.
don't worry. I have the Dallas Jackals as like my defense
Oh,
bonus point
perfect.
team too.
Perfect.
So
Yeah,
any
then we got you.
time to play good, like if the Jackals win, I'm winning right now. So like this,
Yeah,
it all works. You can
yeah.
score tries and get the team's wins, and it all works
Yeah.
very well for me right now.
I'll let the boys know tomorrow when we're at Captain's Run. They can, boys, you gotta,
Perfect. Thank you.
yeah,
Sure.
we gotta get on it.
Yeah, lots of set piece tries and lots. Sam Gala, I have him too. He can score tries. You score tries. Just tell everybody to pass the ball to you guys, unless it's a set piece thing, and then we're
Yeah.
all happy.
Perfect, perfect.
Yeah. So that's that. I think that should be your game plan. If your coaching staff is looking
I
for
think
that.
I like that. I like it.
We're also just because now you're with the Dallas Jackals and they've had the Canadian players for an all-Canadian front row, and yet Dallas has never started a game with all those Canadian players. I think you need to have an inside word with the coaches and just say, like, when we're getting to the business end of the season, we want to like instantly win all the games. That's what we need to start with, the all-Canadian front row, and just go from there.
Yeah, I that is a good idea, but our coach, he scares me. He's a great dude, but he is a scary dude at the same time. So I mean, I try to say as little as much. I hide in a corner, so he's not pointing out at meetings. So I don't know if I could do it, but maybe I'll mention it to one of the Canadian boys to step up for me.
Fair enough. And just before we end this interview, MLR has now been around since 2018. It's in its sixth, seventh year. And, going from strength to strength, there's obviously been some issues along the way. As we've mentioned, the demise of the Arrows and New York over the past year, but we've got teams like Miami and LA and North Carolina coming around. And you said yourself at the start, like you were in basically the right time to have this opportunity put forward to you. And especially with the Men's World Cup coming in 2031 to North America, well, the United States, what are you hoping to see from both MLR and Rugby Canada over the next few years?
Well, obviously, one for Rugby Canada is to be in that World Cup. That's definitely a big one. But yeah, just the growth of both. It was sad just as Toronto folded, but I mean, as it being the only like Canadian team in the MLR, but just with the opportunity that me, Nick, the boys on New England, that opportunity that it just because there's not a team in Canada, you can't come over and play in America. Just keeping that growth for the youth and just the sport as a whole in North America.
Yeah, and kind of in keeping kind of in that, there's obviously one thing that maybe you didn't have, as you mentioned, the Ontario Arrows formed while you were at MAC, and like obviously the MLR did at the same time too. Do you got any like advice or anything to kids that do want to pursue maybe playing in the MLR? Also want to like play for Rugby Canada, represent the national team. Any advice for them on like how to do that and how to like progress their careers and everything?
Yeah, just for me, I got really lucky with the opportunities and the timing. But yeah, it's just to play as much rugby as you can, sevens or 15s. I mean, you've seen Colby Foss and Liam Bowman make their debut on the sevens circuit for Rugby Canada. Like they weren't even with an MLR team. It's just try and play as much rugby as you can, no matter where it is. Like when I was growing up playing, I got cut from my U16 Rugby Ontario team. Didn't even faze me, just went back to next year and kept going. So it's just keep playing, keep trying, and good things will happen. I mean, it took me till I was 27 to get my first cap, so
Yeah, I mean, they say Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team too. So, how do you like ending this podcast by me comparing you to Michael Jordan?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, guy's a goat, but
Yeah, he
no,
is.
yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
That's why you wore 23 for some of those games with the arrows, right? It's the
Yeah,
honor.
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I told Mark. I was like, I need 23.
exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Mitch. And if anyone is interested in watching any MLR games, you can do so on the Rugby Network, as well as watching Premiership Women's Rugby and Premiership Men's Rugby and the URC. That is available on Sportsnet. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to check out more, as well as our written pieces on our website, therougerugby.ca. You can also find our podcast on Spotify, S4P, and Apple Podcasts. We have our YouTube channel at The Rouge Rugby with episodes of the podcast, as well as interviews just like this one. Make sure to like and subscribe and hit the bell notification to stay up to date with all our videos. We can also be available across social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, all at The Rouge Rugby. Now, Mitch, what time is the kickoff and where can our Canadian fans find you for the Dallas
Yeah, our
Jackals?
kickoff is at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, so 8:30 Eastern, and it will be filmed on the Rugby Network.
Fantastic. And Derek, where can the fine people find you on social media?
At Percet the Jet across all social media platforms, and thanks to everybody that's been listening to the show over the last 5 years. 200 episodes is it's kind of insane. To think that we would eventually get to this point, and thanks to Mitch for joining us. It's a pretty awesome guest for the milestone episode.
And you can find me across social media at Hardman, spelled H4RDMAN. And Derek, I've got to agree, 200 episode, there's a lot of Canadian rugby out there, and I'm just pleased to get it out there and get it known. Obviously, great to interview players like Mitch and have them available and, just get the word out that, sometimes Canadian rugby, it's pretty special. It's pretty great to see. Well, Mitch, again, thank you so much for joining us. Derek, thank you for joining me. And thank you all for joining us for our 200th episode of the Rouge Rugby Podcast, where we talk about real Canadian rugby. We hope you can join us again next time.